This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. From Dubai Design District.
This is Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Live at Dubai Design Week, the region's most important creative festival.
Hi, I'm Helen Farmer. Great to have you with us on a very special Afternoons with Helen Farmer podcast, broadcasting live from D3 for Dubai Design Week. It is the UAE's largest creative festival, and we were bringing together some incredible innovators and some great ideas too. Meeting those from the Global Grad Show, how on earth they whittle down thousands of applications to just a couple of hundred that are showcased here at D3, meeting the editor and some of the innovators as well, and met the young Emiratis who are changing the face of their native city through design. Plus, what does the weekend have in store, from shopping to food? We were speaking to organiser Siobhan Layden.
From Dubai Design District,
this is Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Live at Dubai Design Week, the region's most important creative festival.
And the conversation this afternoon is all about creativity, about innovation. We are broadcasting live from Dubai Design Week, and I can think of worse ways to spend an afternoon, sitting in the sun, learning about what is happening here. And that's exactly what we're going to be telling you about over the course of the next couple of hours, joined now by Tad Badini Kavir. He is the director of the Global Grad Show, which is a showcase of graduate students' projects that positively impact society. And it's here on ground for you to explore. Tad, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon and making time, and I'm sure is a really, really busy part of your year. Tell us a little bit, if you wouldn't mind, about the history of the Global Grad Show. When and why did it start?
So Grad Show started 7 years ago as part of Dubai Design Week as an initiative to showcase innovative designs for social impact and environmental impact. Over the past 7 years, the program has grown tremendously. Now we have participants from over 70 countries in a network of over 600 universities in a range of disciplines, from biomedical to statistics, architecture and design. So the common denominator is still social and environmental impact, and that's why you're so excited about it. It feels that more than ever we need young, smart people doing innovation.
Absolutely agree, and it is a real showcase here at D3 where people can come and interact and meet some of the designers as well. We're going to be speaking to a number of them this hour too. Can I ask you, over the course of the time it's been running, so 7 years now, and we've obviously, you know, we've thrown a pandemic in the mix there just to keep everyone on their toes, what kind of patterns or trends have you noticed in the last year that people are looking to address? What are some of the big concerns of that generation?
Well, I think for obvious reasons, health and mental health, they came back very strongly this year. A lot of people are concerned about their communities and their own personal health, so of course that translates into what they research in their PhDs and master's degrees. But also very interestingly, but also maybe not surprisingly, people looking at how the house and the home becomes a place for work, a place for education, for health, etc., etc. So making the home a place where you can survive in a civilized manner.
Rather than doing, you know, trying to have a workout and an office and a play space and entertainment in this, you know, 2 square meters. Because the way we live has changed enormously over the last 18 months as a result of the pandemic. And in some ways it's been hugely negative and very upsetting for a lot of people. But I think what's a really wonderful example of Global Grad Show is with that innovation, people see opportunity. And, you know, see ways of starting up businesses or movements, organizations that can really make a huge, huge difference. But what after the Global Grad Show? What tends to happen to some of these ideas, and what's happened traditionally?
So 2 years ago, we realized that beyond giving them the opportunity to showcase their ideas, we needed to help them to grow further their projects. And we started the entrepreneurship program, which does exactly that. For those students that want to be entrepreneurs, we have a structured avenue where they can get training, mentorship, connections with the industry, and funding to take their ideas forward. So it can be a full cycle for someone who's trying to move from academic research into the startup reality.
And this is what's actually really exciting about coming along and meeting some of the people as part of the Global Grad Show. You kind of think, actually, you've got the power, the ideas, and now the opportunity to change the way we live. And I'm not going to put you on the spot. Actually, I'm totally going to put you on the spot. What's really caught your eye this year, Tad? What are you really excited about? And that could be personally or professionally about what's on show.
I think there are projects trying to make, as I said, the home a very nice and livable space. So ideas that make algae and spirulina specifically, which is a superfood device that can produce that at home level, for me is fantastic. another one that you can see here at Dubai Design Week in Indy 3 is a robot that plants seeds in the desert. And I'm pretty sure you're going to be talking to the grad soon. So maybe in a couple of years, we're going to be driving to Alain and see a little army of robots, solar-powered, planting seeds in the desert and fighting desertification.
It's a really exciting time to be in Dubai, a really exciting time to be here at D3 with Expo going on. It feels like, you know, the city is just alive with ideas and you can really see them come to life and find out more at the Global Grad Show. What's the best way people coming along? Where can they find you here at D3, Ted?
So we are in the atrium of Building 7, where people can find 60 amazing ideas from over 10 countries in the region, 29 universities represented, and a lot of very young and bright people to talk to.
From Dubai Design District,
this is Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Live at Dubai Design Week, the region's most important creative festival.
We are indeed here at D3 for Dubai Design Week. Brilliant atmosphere, so much to see, some incredible people to meet. And that's what we're doing over the course of the afternoon, introducing you to some amazing creators and their amazing ideas. And today, Amna Sana is with us. She's focusing on third culture kids, something that I know an awful lot of us listening here in Dubai will understand. The positive sides, but also some of the potential pitfalls and challenges that we as expat families need to be aware of. Amna, living in Qatar, is a multidisciplinary designer and has really turned her attention to creating a tool, Amna, really, that play therapists can use. Can you tell us a little bit about how and why you identified this as a challenge that you'd like to turn your creativity to?
Well, I realized living in Qatar, I had a lot of friends that were growing up there that was Syrian or that were Egyptian or from Europe. And even though they had lived, they had parents from different places, they were living there for so long and it wasn't very easy for them to grow up in a culture that was completely different to that of their parents. And this led them to experience a lot of emotional hurdles. And talking to them, interviewing them, and listening to them made me realize that this is a problem that we need to identify, we need to work towards to find a solution for this. Because as we grow older, I mean, it's easier for us to talk about what we're feeling. But children don't have the adequate skills, mm-hmm. the language skill set, to express what they're feeling in words. So I decided to make toys that could be used in a play therapy setting by third culture kids, under the supervision of a professional play therapist that could allow these kids to express themselves, to process their emotions growing up in a different culture, and then also to learn better coping mechanisms to deal with the problem at hand.
Tell us about what these toys, these tools look like. Can you paint us a picture?
Yeah, I tried to make them as fun as possible considering they were supposed to be for children. The first one is a gigantic catapult.
Gigantic catapult.
For kids, yeah. Okay. And the thing that launches is actually a giant spoon. And the child can actually cope with their feelings of aggression or anger where they feel like they're not being heard mm-hmm. by pulling the catapult and releasing it into the air and kind of like disassociating themselves from the pain or the anger that they're feeling. So the idea behind each toy is not simply that they get to play with it. It's also based on a much deeper theory by Laban's movement analysis, who basically is a theorist that says that dancing or acting and the movements that you create within that setting tends to express different emotions and feelings. So the idea is not just to let children play with toys, it's to have a deeper meaning, a deeper sort of interaction between the child and the toy, mm-hmm. where they can benefit more than just by having fun with them.
So play with purpose.
Yeah, play with purpose, yeah.
You can steal that as a tagline if you want.
I will.
I think this is actually a really interesting one because you're aiming it at children aged 3 to 7. And
yeah.
as you say, this can be a really challenging time when it comes to expression of emotion. There's
Absolutely.
A lot of frustration there. We're having this with our 4-year-old right now. And also in terms of language as well, you know, growing up as an expat, you might have parents who are from two different backgrounds. You're growing up in a culture that might have another language. You might be going to school and it might be English, for example.
Absolutely.
So I mean, this through, you know, play doesn't really have a language as such, which is it's really
exactly,
unifying.
That's exactly why it works so well for all types of third culture kids. Because in play therapy, play becomes the talk and the toys become the words. Mm-hmm. They don't necessarily have to even speak to express what they're feeling.
And what's the next step for you then? How many toys have you created and what are your hopes for the future?
So far, I've created 3 different toys. And I'm hoping to work with other play therapists, especially in Qatar and Pakistan, Pakistan being my home country, and trying to integrate this idea that play therapy is an important tool. It's an important way that we can use to help children really become more emotionally happier as adults.
Thank you for raising the topic today. Really, really appreciate it. Keep us posted, won't you?
I will.
Where can people find out more?
They can find out more on my portfolio page, on my LinkedIn page, which is...
Come down and meet Amna. She's here at the Global Grad Show.
I'll be here.
Great to have you here. Really, really appreciate your time this afternoon.
From Dubai Design District,
this is Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Live at Dubai Design Week, the region's most important creative festival.
We're here at D3 and really exploring and enjoying everything that Dubai Design Week has to offer. We're going to be talking to a number of incredible, inspirational people between now and 5 o'clock, and urge you to come along. It's running through until the 13th, and we're going to be learning a bit more about the marketplace and shopping opportunities as well. But now we're meeting some of the stars of the Global Grad Show. This is a showcase of graduate students who are coming together in one building, and actually scattered around a little bit as well across D3, to inspire us. And sometimes it's ideas that might impact the way we live or eat or sleep, and sometimes it is big ideas that could be changing the face of the globe, of agriculture, of waste, the environment. And we are meeting them just now. Marcia is with us today, the man behind a seed bot. So robots in the desert planting seeds, sir, tell us more. Where did this idea come from?
Hello.
Hi.
So on our first year project, we're supposed to come up with a project that could have a impact on the world, and I wanted a project that could have an impact specifically in the GCC or Dubai. So when you go out to the desert, you only see deserted areas, right? You don't see a lot of plants or greenery. So I thought of, what if there's this device that plants seeds all by itself and it recharges by itself? So it's a small 20 to 20 centimeter device that you could place it either in your farm or any, preferably anywhere. And it has a 5 kilometer radius, so it wouldn't go out of that radius either. It has 2 different sensors. It has a distance sensor to avoid human beings, animals, for its own safety, it wouldn't be damaged. Mm-hmm. And it has a soil moisture sensor, so it could actually... spot where plant life could be possible.
So it could find like the optimum areas.
Exactly. So it wouldn't just waste seeds.
What's a planting? In an ideal world, what would you like to see growing as a result of a seed bot?
So specifically for a seed bot, it has plants that could be adaptable to UAE's desert. So it wouldn't need a lot of water. Mm-hmm. So something that could grow by itself possibly.
I love this idea. The idea of seeing these little guys just roaming around, and a year or so later, these beautiful oasis is a green.
Hopefully.
What's your own design background?
So I'm in my second year. I'm studying fashion design and product design, majoring in both.
Well, and I know this has been a really amazing opportunity for lots of people from all over the world to come together and be inspired by each other. And it sounds like we're kind of tapping into a few main themes this year. Healthcare, of course, being a big one when we think about the world we're living in, but also the environment as well. Have any other products or concepts caught your eye?
Yes, there's this student who came from Saudi. He made this magnetic skin that you can actually put it on your face. It's for people who are paralyzed. So with just your facial expression, you could move your wheelchair to any direction, which I thought was very interesting.
Yeah. And that's what's so fantastic about coming down here. It's ideas that are not in the marketplace or even in the news yet. It really is kind of grassroots opportunity to see what we could be experiencing and working with and living with in years to come. And it could be robots in the desert. Hind Reis joining us. She's from Zayed University here in the UAE. And a graphic designer, a true creative. You've just graduated. Tell us a little bit about Beyond Bread. What problem are you looking to address, Hind?
Hello, hi. So my project Beyond Bread revolves around the idea of using bread ingredients, which are flour, water, and sugar, to create a sustainable package that is targeted for local bakeries. So those 3 ingredients make up a dough called a dead dough. So basically it's dead because it doesn't have yeast in it. Mm-hmm. So it makes the package stay for a longer period of time. So the package can be reused from 2 to 3 times. And then once it starts cracking, you can take a part of it, grind it, and give it to birds. So
like a real circular product.
Yeah, so this contributes to the circular economy as it goes from production in a closed loop to bird consumption.
So this is kind of addressing leftovers, really. We think a lot about food wastage.
Yeah.
And different parts of the world have different problems. Sometimes it's to do with the production, the storage, the distribution, mm-hmm. Things like, mm-hmm. A warehouse that has a leak in it, and next thing you know, 30% of that is gone. In more developed parts of the world, such as Dubai, the food wastage is because of us. Of us, and I'm pointing at myself here, lack of planning, going to the supermarket, buying too much, not eating it, or bringing home leftovers from restaurants and it ending up in the bin, the next day. So when you think about the impact this could have, who is your kind of customer, who's your consumer that you have in mind?
Yeah, so because I had my project, it was my senior graphic design project, I had to have it targeted for a specific consumer. So my target was local bakeries because they use plastic bags. Mm-hmm. So to avoid that, I wanted to use this sustainable package that is also biodegradable.
What does it feel like?
So it is actually hard. So it has a rough surface. It's raw because it's handmade. And as I said, it can crack after a couple of uses. So it's a little bit hard. But once grinded or soaked in water, it can go back to,
It also looks really cool. Yeah. Zina's just popped over to Building 7 to have a little nosy, and she's going to put a photo up on our social media so you can have a look about exactly what we're talking about. So do head over to Dubai i1038 FM on Instagram. You can see some of the wonderful ideas, big scale, small scale, here at Dubai Design Week. It's been honestly wonderful so far. It must be fantastic for you to have an in-person event, honestly, after this last year of, all of the Zooms, to actually be able to interact with people. Same question to you. What's caught your eye at the Global Grad Show so far? And
so I went around. I liked, I'm not sure what was the name of the sculpture that's over there, but it has those interactive space that is 3D printed. I thought it's really interesting to just have people go and play around, mm-hmm. because as you said, it's been COVID was a year. Yeah. So I think interacting with those designs is really interesting, and it makes us
it's quite emotional, to be honest, for everyone to be back and see Dubai springing into life again. It's really inspirational to have people traveling around and being together and sharing ideas.
Yes.
Now you've just graduated from Zayed. Yeah. What's the next plan for Beyond Bread?
So as I said, it was my senior project, and it was interesting, because I had a specific period to work with it. Mm-hmm. It was a kind of nearly a year, so I had to focus on one shape and have a target, as I said, as a local bakery. And now I would like to kind of experiment more to develop it further, because it's just a prototype at the moment. So having different shapes and having it for different types of bread would be interesting as well.
I'll watch this space. Both, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon.
From Dubai Design District,
this is Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Live at Dubai Design Week, the region's most important creative festival.
Hope you're having a wonderful Wednesday. Delighted to be with you here live from D3. Dubai Design Week is underway, running until the 13th. So over the weekend, you can come along, experience some incredible ideas, some pretty impressive photo opportunities. There's lots of people snapping for their Instagram and getting a little backlog of photos. I can see them right now on the swings. There's also a very impressive Bentley right behind me. We are here to introduce you to some of the great minds and the great ideas taking part at the Global Grad Show. And joined now by the editor, Carla Trezzo, is here. I'm not going to lie, we've just been talking about Italian food. We haven't been talking about design at all. But that's because D3's got some great food. Cupidori, good pizza.
Design now as well.
So some great design, some great food. What does your role as editor of the Global Grad Show encompass? Because you split your time between Italy and Dubai. You're curator, you're a researcher, you're a...
I do too many things.
You do a lot. You wear a lot of hats, and they're all pretty stylish. But what about the editor role?
So the editor role is really about sifting through this incredible array of applications that we got this year. We got 2,600, which it's just been almost twice as much as last year.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I have the privilege and the... and,
tough task.
And the tough task to sift through them and identify what are the key questions the graduates are asking around the world. That's really the objective. We have you'd be surprised how many times we think of something as a specific problem, but actually there are different graduates looking at the same question but offering different solutions from five different continents.
Do you not find yourself just wanting to introduce people, like, you need to meet them and they've got this idea?
That's actually the job of the Global Grad Show. We definitely do that. That's really what we do throughout the year. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we have this amazing opportunity now when we come to the culmination of all the efforts, but there's a lot of work going on throughout the year where we connect not just students, we also connect faculty, and it's really important because these professors also, they see many students going through their sort of university years, and they go through their ideas and they fail and they try again and they fail and they try again, and they really support them in this job.
More than 2,000 applications. How many have you had to get that to edit down to, Carlos?
150.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
And I have to say, I think I left out a good 200 excellent applications, over which I probably shed a few tears.
It was really
amazing. But I think it was also interesting to see that I was the editor also of last year's edition, and the change and the shift in some of the key topics that we were talking about that the graduates have been looking at. So, for example, healthcare, which one would expect, COVID pandemic, it's really the top of everyone's list. It was last year for projects that were designed and thought of before the pandemic, but then. And then there was a lot of projects dealing with patients and with making the life of people living with illness and disability as normal as possible, as close to someone's normal life as possible. And this year, instead, it's mostly about access, because I think what graduates realized is that they were looking at the way in which our healthcare systems has been stretched. And to an extent that I think was unimaginable for many.
Completely unprecedented.
And I think they started really looking at solutions. How do we use technologies to reach patients that are in rural areas? How do we enable doctors to monitor patients remotely with technology? How do we help families or a carer do rehabilitation at home for children? Sort of all of these questions that are all... they've all become sort of... all come to the fore.
Mm-hmm. And some of these ideas are ways that... will impact our lives in kind of seemingly small ways, the way that we might, you know, move around our home or products that we'd interact with. But some are really focusing on massive social change and
That's
impact.
Right.
Is there anything that you've seen in this year's edition that you could really see being applied in a very, very real sense pretty soon?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the themes that we identified had to do with food. I think food is really not just because we were talking about Italian food, but there's many projects that are really looking at solutions around food. There is and not just in the Global Grad Show, also in the MENA Show. Mm-hmm. In the Global Grad Show, for example, there was projects like an algae grower for the home that delivers the right amount of spirulina for you that you need every day, which is 5 grams. I learned.
Delicious.
and then another project, for example, was dealing with optimizing food bank services to match people in need and service providers and foundations and charities that offer food, also to minimize waste. And I think one of the things that distinguished food-related products this year particularly was the fact that they were all immediately applicable solutions. You could really see that they were targeted at very specific communities. Mm-hmm. They were technologies that existed, they were ready, they were
being rolled out.
Exactly, they were made ready to be rolled out.
And that's what's been so fascinating so far, is that some of these ideas, I don't know if you, growing up in the UK, there was a program called Tomorrow's World, and it was these kind of wild and wacky ideas. And some of these are exactly this, is kind of beyond imagination, and some are these real life applications that if you come down to D3 and go to the Global Grad Show, you could be amongst the first in the world and be able to look back and go, do you know what, I saw that back in 2021 in D3 and here we are. And I think what's so important as well is that the students have the opportunity to develop these ideas
to
be introduced, and
Absolutely.
Because it would be a crying shame for some of these to live only here. They need to be in the world. Carlos, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
I'm going to let you get back to your very busy day at the Global Garage Show. We are here at D3 for Dubai Design Week, exploring, introducing you to the ideas and the people behind those ideas.
From Dubai Design District,
this is Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Live at Dubai Design Week, the region's most important creative festival.
We are live from D3. Dubai Design Week is underway, and the atmosphere and the weather, by the way, absolutely brilliant. Do come down. It's running through until the 13th. I'm speaking now to Siobhan Layden, the organiser of the marketplace, which is going to be a bit of a retail and foodie extravaganza running on Friday and Saturday. Don't forget, there are so many workshops as well. Going to be exploring some of those too. Siobhan, you've got your trainers on. Wise woman. Learn your lesson in previous years.
Sensible footwear. Definitely recommended.
I'm about to hit 10,000 steps.
Wow.
And I couldn't be happier, to be honest, because it's such a wonderful opportunity. We've been meeting really incredible people this afternoon, but also lots of people taking lots of selfies, some getting their Instagram content sorted out, but really just to be together again. What does it mean to you to see Dubai feeling like this again?
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Helen. It's great to be here.
You're welcome.
For a start, but you're absolutely right, and I think we were just discussing earlier before we went on air, like last night was just buzzing here. We had we brought over a live band from Lebanon playing jazz music. There was like a K-pop girl group doing stuff, and all the fairy lights come on, and it's just such a buzz. Everyone's outside wandering around, and it's just, you feel like it's so welcomed, I think. And I think this weekend, we're hoping that everyone will come down and enjoy, just to be outdoors and enjoy this new sort of retail experience.
And I think we've all just felt, I just feel like I've kind of plugged my fingers in the socket of creativity just coming down here by going, well, that's a great idea, and I've never thought of that before, or isn't that just a gorgeous vista, a space, something to look at? I mean, the food at D3 is always excellent, but this weekend there's going to be some extra. Tell us a little bit about the concept of the marketplace.
Yeah, sure. So we've got this year over 70 different brands coming down. We've carefully selected them from all the best, I think, of the creatives and artisans from the region. We had a phenomenal response, over 300, and we had to whittle it down to 70.
Wow.
So again, just goes to show that this really is in demand and people really, really want to be part of a market. So we're absolutely delighted to have so many. And this year we've got 50 new brands as well from last year. And gosh, it's really hard to pinpoint them all. I can't say which one would come.
I don't want to say what are the highlights, but can you give us a flavour of some of the array of things that are going
to
be on display and for shopping as well?
Yeah, no, I'd love to. It's a great place to come down and find gifts, because a lot of the brands are all bringing unique and handcrafted gifts, you know, direct from those people who have made them.
Yeah.
And I think behind every brand as well, which is really important for us, is there's a story. I think that just makes it so much better when you buy a product, and not only that, but you get to meet those people who've made them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got this wonderful group of sisters from Egypt who make beautiful hand-woven rugs. We've got a gentleman who's an artist from Afghanistan bringing cushions who are made directly by groups in Afghanistan who are currently living in his house, and they've brought those over. We've got the likes of wonderful jewellery. We've got over 10 brands from Lebanon. There's a great support this year for Lebanese brands. Recipe books to hand-blown glass from a collective in Beirut, which was set up just recently and have recycled a couple of hundred tons of glass since it started. We have a great sustainable edge as well this year, which I'm really happy to see. We've got eco-fashion, sustainable footwear. We've got... oh, what else can I say? Oh, electric skateboards. You can get on one and have a go from Evolve Skateboards. They will be here.
You can come down, meet the makers, as Siobhan says, get some festive shopping sorted well ahead of time, extra smug points there, and really make a difference to people's lives, these creatives, these artisans in their home countries, and have a story to tell when you give that gift, whether it's to yourself or to someone else.
From Dubai Design District,
this is Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Live at Dubai Design Week, the region's most important creative festival.
And it's not just other people's creativity that you can tap into here at D3. You can get creative yourself. Speaking now to Siobhan Layden, the organiser of the marketplace, taking place over Friday and Saturday this weekend. Siobhan, what are the hours that we can look forward to when it comes to workshops, shopping, of course? So when are you open?
Yes, so it opens on Friday from 10 till 9, and then on Saturday from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. We extended the hours this year because it was so popular last year. People just didn't want to leave. So so we've got, yeah, so lots all day long shopping for you.
And let's talk food. D3, I mean, we're here broadcasting from Smart Home Bakery, and they're incredible. If you haven't had the burnt Basque cheesecake from Home Bakery, you need to have it. Of course, the Cupidori's here. But over the weekend, there's going to be some extra special kind of limited edition pop-ups on
Absolutely.
The food front. Who can we expect?
Yeah, so we've got 15 brands coming. From Co Chocolat, which are this gorgeous sort of bean-to-bar homemade chocolate company, and they're just lovely. Luchi and Iman from there, they've got their own farms in Malaysia, so every single part of the process has a story again, you know, and you've got to come down and meet them. And they've got chocolate tastings, and they've got hot, like, maybe not hot chocolate, but chocolate drinks anyway on their stand. And we're going to have this gorgeous pink van, which is having its first outings from, it's called Hero Donuts.
Oh my goodness.
Do you know them?
Yeah, they only launched about
yes.
a week ago.
Yeah,
we're
yeah.
actually, I'm hoping to try some. They're doing, of course, it's Dubai, gold well, donuts.
Yes. He promised to be walking around with some samples of that as well.
Excellent.
Another great story. It's a pandemic story. They brought a chef over from London. They're the first sort of freshly made sourdough donuts. And if you've heard of the Curry Bureau and the Plant Bureau now, the Lunch Bureau.
By the way, the best Cornish
pasties. Yeah.
And I used to work with Vikram, the man behind
Did
it.
You?
Yeah, when I worked in magazines, he was the photographer and I was an editor. And I ordered from the Lunch Bureau about a month ago. And haven't stopped thinking about the traditional Cornish pasty. So they're going to be there
yes,
as well.
Yep,
sold.
They'll be down.
Sold. So food extravaganza. But I'm also having a look at the workshop schedule, which is extensive. This
yes.
is running Friday and Saturday. So as I said, it's not just about coming down to D3 and looking what other people have created and innovated. You can get creative yourself. And this is for kids as well. You've got workshops ages from 5 and upwards. What are you looking forward to?
Yeah, there's some really, really great workshops. We've got, again, about over 30 workshops running, from those that are purely drop-ins, spray painting by Mass Paints. We've also got Reba, the architectural firm, who are celebrating World Children's Day, and they've got this wonderful, fantastical cities, encouraging kids to come down and use their imagination and basically kind of create their own city of the future, and that's
wow.
a free workshop. We've also got NYUAD who are setting up their own little mini plastic lab under the theme of, well, the theme of the workshop this year is plastic, paper and play, and we really try to weave into all of the workshops some form of sustainability and eco thought processing. So this is, you'll learn how to recycle plastic bags into an object. And they brought all the equipment down. There's demos on that. If you'd like to get your hands dirty with clay,
yes.
we've got some of the clay building. We've got Studio Lab down, who are bringing their own wooden lathe machine, so you can make your own wooden pen, your egg cup, shakers, salt and pepper shakers. What else? Absolutely tons
honestly,
of ones.
Honestly, you've got gaff seed planting.
Gaff seed planting with Goombook, yeah.
Making your own face mask. So... upside down drawing.
Yeah, by Dina.
So I think it's a great chance for the family really to come down and enjoy some shopping, of course, and give back in that way, but also get a bit creative, get a bit messy. I'm definitely going to bring the kids down to a spray paint workshop, because that's something I would never allow them to do in my own home. So if they can get messy on someone else's turf, I
yeah.
am grateful. Where can people find out more, Siobhan? Sign up for the workshops, many yeah. of which, as you say, are free.
Yes. So we're encouraging people to actually download our app, the Dubai Design Week app. Everything is on there. Or alternatively, you can go to the website, www.dubaidesignweek.ae, and everything is on there as well. Do register. A lot of them are filling up, mm-hmm. so you can register online. Or, of course, you can also register if you like on site when you come down. But I'm really looking forward to welcoming everybody, all the family. I think, as you said, something for everyone, really.
And an amazing atmosphere. It is Wednesday afternoon. We're broadcasting live from Dubai Design Week. It's running through until the 13th, and this weekend is going to be a real highlight in your social shopping and probably your eating calendar too.
From Dubai Design District,
this is Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Live at Dubai Design Week, the region's most important creative festival.
We are here for Dubai Design Week, and it is just the loveliest atmosphere at D3, I have to say. The weather is stunning, photo opportunities are plenty, and really wonderful to see the city feeling back and together, and seeing everyone just come together to be inspired by each other, really. And delighted to be reuniting, actually, two school friends. Joining us today, we have got Hassan Al-Suwaidi and Omar Al-Gogh, who did study here in Dubai together and are now two Emiratis who are changing the face of their home city in very different ways. Now, Hassan, we're actually really close to your creation. It is the most beautiful Bentley I have ever seen.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about this collaboration, and can you paint us a picture for those who aren't down at D3?
So when I first got the brief, it was a bit of a brainstorming session between me and the Bentley team in London. So that was really helpful to kind of get their insight on their values of Bentley and what is important to them and what they wanted to kind of perceive in the art piece, and kind of what my background is and how we were able to merge those two things together. And so we were just talking about the values of Bentley, and he was talking about craftsmanship, and I was like, okay, this is something that's my forte, like Emirati craftsmanship, and I would love to shed light on that, because obviously I come from a textiles background, and textiles is such a big part of our heritage, and it's something that I really don't want to be forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at the Safifa, which is a palm tree weaving, and I kind of took a play on the word, and I've taken the word in an analog form and broke it apart. So the biggest parts are the front pieces of the car and in the Safifa woven structure, similar to Bentley's interiors, which is the diamond shape.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the front of the car. And then it's as if the car has driven through the print and it tessellated across the car.
It's so cool. It looks like it's wearing a cape, to be honest. And this is one of the hero models, the Flying Spur. And at the minute, there are people just lovingly stroking this car. So it looks, as you say, it looks like it's driven through.
Yeah,
so
and it's been caught in the front, and it's just been dragging it along, basically.
So you've got this real sense of movement. It feels dynamic.
Yeah.
But also really respectful, as you're saying, to some of Bentley's kind of true values.
Yeah, so it also looks like, how can we create something that's static, like a car still moving? Mm-hmm. So that's where the imagery has come in. And it was all about craftsmanship. That was the main value of Bentley. And that was the main value, I think, for me as a textiles artist. That's kind of what I wanted to shed light on.
Well, it is here at D3. We're just at SMAT, which is Building 10, and it's very, very close. We will put a photo on our Instagram story so you can see exactly what we're talking about. But it is a really modern, exciting take. I mean, can you imagine going down Beach Road in that?
Yeah, I would love to do that, honestly.
Let's put that in.
Bentley, if you can hear me.
Let's put that into the world. And Omar Algerg with us as well, who is from a really creative family. Tell us a little bit about what your father and your sister do as well.
All right. So my father actually was a photographer, and I started doing photography as well because I was encouraged. He had kind of like a developing studio at home. My sister, Emel, she's a calligraphy artist as well as a screen printer. And my other sister, Sara, she's a jewelry designer. So, so we're full of creative people in our family.
You actually went to Queen's University in Belfast, where my auntie used to work, and
yes.
I was very disappointed you haven't picked up a Northern Irish accent.
I mean, I can do a Northern Irish accent.
Let's not offend anyone listening. What were you studying in Belfast?
I studied architecture in Belfast.
And then you've come back to your native UAE, and do you have a day job as such, Omar? Can you explain how you spend your time? What keeps you busy?
I do, yeah. Actually, I work with the family. I'm a project and operations manager. And what I actually do is anytime that we have any old properties, I look at renovating them. I handle the design of these properties. Whenever we want to build something new, I also look at the design for that. Yeah.
And you're taking this a step further now with your new launch, Modu. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, so Modu Method. What I wanted to do with Modu Method is kind of create a more personal experience for people that like furniture, you know? Because now what we see is a lot of furniture that's static. It looks great. It's amazing design, but then it just sits there and then you kind of forget about it.
Kind of passive.
Yeah, it's kind of passive because you get used to it, you know? Mm-hmm. And what I want to do is I want to create kind of like an experience, an interactive experience between you, the person, and the furniture itself. So I'm kind of almost forcing people to go up to the furniture and move things around and kind of create that bond, you know, and it creates kind of like a sentimental feel between you and your piece of furniture.
That's really interesting in terms of the relationship we have with the objects in mm-hmm. our home, because, you know, me as an expat here, you know, I used to be like, okay, I'll go and buy this because I'm not going to be here for very long. And now as I've got older and this is my home, I want to put things in my home that feel like me mm-hmm. and that I want to love and take wherever I live. And I feel like we're also hopefully moving away from this fast fashion, but also, you know, kind of so materialistic and consumer, you know, heavy. this is really pieces you can start a relationship with and exactly. have throughout your life.
They're exactly. like art pieces in your house, yeah. you know what I mean? Like, they're furniture pieces, but they're also art pieces, which is beautiful.
What's your aesthetic like, Omar? How do you describe
aesthetic?
It?
Aesthetic? Well, I'm inspired by a lot of mid-century style furniture, and I love the 70s, so... Actually, what I try to do with my design is I try to make it timeless. So I use nice basic shapes and forms mm-hmm. That are pleasing to the eye so that, you know, they last a lifetime. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit, Tata, about Dubai Design Week for you. Have you had a chance to have a proper look around? What's caught your eye?
Honestly, there's some good stuff in the tents. That was really cool. Had a look around there yesterday. Been around my area quite a lot as well, which is great.
Looking at the car.
Just looking at the car. I haven't really had much of a chance. I did the tent yesterday, and today I'm going to walk around here, see what's happening. I know there's a really good print exhibition with the Swiss Embassy and Hamzat Wassel on the corner of, I think it's building 7, if I'm not mistaken.
It's on my list.
Yeah.
What about you, Emma? It's nice to have people back and feeling connected, right?
Yeah, absolutely. My gosh. It's a little overwhelming to be surrounded by so many people, but it's lovely. It's amazing.
It's a real Instagram photo opportunity around every single corner. I can see people, like, you know, just getting their photos, doing a little edit on the spot. And I feel like we've kind of really missed... These kind of junctures of people and creativity over the course of the last year and a half, really. It's really wonderful to see the city back in force, not just creative such as yourself, but, you know, us who want to be inspired and feel connected to the city again. What's next for you, Hessa? What are you scheming after the Bentley era?
Hopefully a lot. Nothing set in stone just yet, but I am currently doing my master's in textiles at Parsons School of Design in New York.
Amazing. You know, I want to ask you.
Did you?
No, like, anything to do with Project Runway? Have you?
Oh my god, amazing!
It's so cool.
Yeah, it is cool. I love it, honestly.
How's New York?
Beautiful and cold right now.
Oh yeah, it's November.
Yeah, it's starting. It's really starting. But the best decision I've ever done in my life, I think, was go to Parsons. It really helped me see what I did for my undergrad, which was textiles as well, but like seeing it in a different light and mm-hmm. turning it into more of a conceptual textile art, so like something that would be seen in a gallery or in an exhibit rather than it just being something that's commercial, like fashion or interiors, for example.
Have you got any idea what you'd like to do in the next few years, if you were to manifest again? Apart from driving the Bentley, what does that dream job or the way you spend your days look like?
I would love to do fashion, to get kind of an experience of hands-on fashion industry in the States, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then come back here and look at the heritage and textiles and woven aspect of our culture and kind of bring that back to life.
Marry it all together.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that would be incredible. Omar, what about you? Obviously, Modu's just launched.
It's just launched.
Where can people find it?
They can find it on Instagram, Modu Method, Modu, and then Method.
Huge congratulations.
Thank you so much.
It's
Thank
really
you.
Wonderful to have you both here and see these really exciting ideas born out of the UAE and from your travels and brought back here, and thank you for
thank
your time.
You.
Thank
really,
you for
really
having
appreciate
us.
It.
From Dubai Design District,
this is Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Live at Dubai Design Week, the region's most important creative festival.
You can tune into Afternoons with me, Helen Farmer, live on Dubai i103.8, Sunday to Thursday between 2 and 5. Don't forget to rate and subscribe to this podcast. It helps other people find us, boost us in the ratings, and you'll get it direct to your phone.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to dubaieye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.